two sheets. I would like you to just keep them in your Bible for now and open up your Bibles while you're waiting for those two sheets to come your way to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. Now, on the platform here, there is a watch battery, it looks like, but there's no ID on it, so I don't know who it belongs to, but I know a good jeweler, so. Okay. And of the two sheets that you'll be getting this morning, one is kind of a brief outline of titled Fathers Remember Joshua, and we trust that this message will be an encouragement to your hearts, fathers, today, but ladies, women, mothers, don't tune us out because there's encouraging thoughts for you as well, I trust, because it is the ladies who work, the women, the mothers who work along with the fathers to bring their children up in the nurture of the Lord, the things of the Lord. And then there's another sheet that will be coming your way this morning called Legacy of Love. It's the lyrics of the song that we hope to have played at the end of this message, if all the technology works correctly and everything goes right, which sometimes it does, we'll be able to hear that. And in case we don't, we've got the lyrics of it. And you know who it's sung by the bottom. It's sung by David Phelps. So with all that as background and you're opening up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, I want to just encourage your hearts this morning. Encourage the fathers here today. Let's see, we moved in October, right, Dad? We moved in October, so November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. That's a year and 8 months ago, pretty close to 2 years ago we moved. And I can say to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'm joyful in saying this, that I see fathers in this assembly. Them that are here, there's a few away today, but who have raised their children and are continuing to raise their children in a godly manner. Their children are seeing it lived out at home, because when we see the children here, we see examples of what's being learned in a home, and it's a wonderful thing. So I praise God for that. I want to, just at the beginning of this message, encourage your hearts this morning for what we see evidence of, because the children emulate what they see us do at home. And it's wonderful, the things that we see and hear from the lips of the children here at Land O'Lakes Chapel. So thank you, fathers, for the work that you are doing in the home, and mothers too, because it is the faithfulness of mom and dads that bring up the children this way. I'd like to read a little story for you. Thank you for handing those out. Does everybody have two pages this morning? Raise your hand if you don't. Great. Wonderful. On December 7th, 1988, an earthquake occurred. It devastated a large section of Armenia. It killed about 25,000 people. In a small town, just after the earthquake, a father rushed to his son's school, only to find the school had been totally flattened, and there was no sign of life at all. But he had no thought at all of turning back. He had often told his son, "No matter what, son, I'll always be there when you need me." Though his prospects seemed hopeless, the father began feverishly digging through the rubble. Other parents said, "It's hopeless. Why are you even bothering?" Some told the father to go home, that there was no chance that the children could possibly be alive. Yet he replied, "I made my son a promise that I'd be there for him anytime he needed me. I must continue to dig," he wrote. Courageously, he worked alone. No one volunteered to help him. He simply had to know, is my boy alive or is he dead? Finding strength and endurance beyond himself, he dug for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, yes, 36 hours. continuously. And at the 38th hour, as he heaved away a heavy piece of rubble, he heard voices. "Armin," he screamed. A child's voice responded, "Dad, it's me, Armin. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you would save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised you would always be there for me. You did, Dad." Moments later, the dad was helping his son Armin and 13 more frightened, hungry, and thirsty boys and girls climb out of the debris, free at last. When the building collapsed, those children had been spared in a tent-like pocket, protected. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Our Heavenly Father provided for us. He dug us from the depths of our sins, did he not? He rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has translated us by salvation through his Son into the kingdom of his Son. And this morning we could cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Some here, perhaps, and I say this reverently and solemnly, some here, perhaps, never had godly fathers. But today, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have a Heavenly Father. You have a Heavenly Father who is so faithful. And we're going to explore a little bit of his faithfulness this morning. And yes, it is our Father's world. It is our Father's world. So be blessed this morning as you look with me in Scripture. And let's remember the theme of our Father's Day message is the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. And you know, before we begin in Joshua chapter 1, by the way, last month? I think it was June, that Today in the Word, there's a little booklet we get from Moody Bible Radio, and it takes, this month is Job, I think last month was Joshua. It takes a whole month and goes through a whole topic or book or something. It's so wonderful. And so that's what made me think, because it was fresh on my mind from last month. I can remember back to last month. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember back last month. Anyway, so Joshua was before my mind anyway, and I thought in looking at this message and preparing some thoughts, spiritual leadership in the home, as your outline says, spiritual leadership in the home, dependence upon God for help and strength and wisdom as we guide our families, confidence in God and in his word, humility and service to our God and in the church and in the family life too. And then we'll look here in Joshua chapter 1 at some of the beautiful thoughts that we read here in the first chapter. You know, the most practical way, fathers, that our children will see the love of God is by us living it out. I'm sure my son and daughter-in-law will correct me if I'm wrong, but they're commending church as Faith Church. And I think the theme of Faith Church is live it out. Is that correct? Yes. So we have that little sticker on our refrigerator. Faith is the name of the church. But faith for us is to live it out. And as our children emulate what they see us do in the home, it is our responsibility, fathers, to set the spiritual climate, the spiritual thermostat in our home, if you will, so that we have the correct climate for our children to learn of God's love. Men, are you willing to learn today a new Sunday school chorus? You could say yes, it's okay. Yes? All right. Well, then you've got it right on your outline sheet. Do you see where it says live it out in bold letters? I want to teach you a little Sunday school chorus that I learned from Johnny Erickson Tata. A couple years ago, I heard this on a Christian station back in Connecticut. We all know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the tells me so. Here's one, dear fathers, I speak to myself first, that we ought to be knowing about as well. Jesus loves me, this I know, for my daddy showed me so. Can you say that with me, men? Jesus loves me, this I know, for my daddy showed me so. Now, you may not have had a father who was a believer, but you now, as a Christian, have a father who is a heavenly father, and he shows you that love. And he shows you that love. So there's the beginning of the thoughts in terms of the faithfulness of the Father. I hope we can say that our children say about us, fathers, Jesus loves me, this I know, for my daddy showed me so. It's convicting, isn't it? Amen? Amen? All right. Joshua chapter 1, finally we'll begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to look down to probably verse 9 with the help of the Lord. So in your Bibles, please join me in Joshua chapter number 1. Now it came to about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the way to the Hittites, the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Do you hear that hymn in your mind, brothers, fathers? Do you hear that hymn echoing in your mind like I do now? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I, God, swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Particularly, I'd like you to notice verse number 8. I'd like you to notice all the verses, but verse number 8 jumped out at my heart when I studied this. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it night, day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have success. I just want to stop right here. Prosperous and success in God's eyes. Amen? In God's eyes. In the things that are eternal. Because the things that are temporal that people out there want to know what success is are just that. They're temporal. They're fleeting. Amen? In God's eyes. Keep that in mind as we look at that passage together. Make your way prosperous. What does the King James read in that? Does it read differently? Prosperous? Okay. And then you shall have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. How many times, brothers, has that phrase been used already? Three times? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the first point of the three-point message I'd like to share with you today, and sharing it with you, I am convicted. You know how they used to say when you point to someone, what's happening back to you? There's three fingers pointing back to you. So what I share with you, I look at my own life and say, how well did I do? How well am I still doing with regards to this fatherhood? Point number one, God spoke to Joshua. God spoke to, it's a simple thought, huh? God spoke to Joshua. But God speaks to us, amen? God speaks to us. So now I'm going to ask the fathers, any brother can answer this question, how does God speak to us? So would you give me some examples of how God speaks to us? Through His Word. That's number one in my notes, brothers. Thank you. Through His Word. How else does God speak to us, brothers? Through, come on, don't be bashful, circumstances, trials, through other brothers and sisters, through one another, through hymns, God speaks to us. Amen? You with me? Are we on the same train, going down the same track? Good, good. So when He speaks to Joshua, with that speaking comes a great responsibility. And so when He speaks to you and I, there comes a great responsibility. As we hear His Word first, as we hear from others more learned than ourselves, as we hear explained through trials and circumstances, because there's no coincidences with the children of God, is there? They're God incidences, aren't they? Joshua chapter 1, we hear point number one is that the Lord speaks to Joshua, and the Lord speaks to you and I. And what does He speak? Well, what do we see over and over here? We see the expression, be strong and courageous. We see, be strong and very courageous. And we look at the examples of God speaking to him. And what do we see here? We see promises from the great I Am, don't we? We see promises. We see the presence of God. We see the protection of God. And we see the provision of God, don't we? Amen? And if ever there was a word today for fathers in the school system that their children have to grow up in, if they're not in a Christian school, in the world that they have to grow up in, it's this word that God spoke to Joshua. If ever there was a word for fathers today, it's that word. Be strong, brothers. Be strong, fathers. Be strong and very courageous. Because we're asked to stand for what is right. We've often heard this expression, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Have you heard that expression? Yeah. I think another way of saying it, and perhaps if you'll allow me, a better way of saying it is this. God said it, that settles it, I believe it. Because the settling of it doesn't depend on my believing it, does it? God said it. That settles it. I believe it. The truth of God's Word. And so as God's Word comes into my heart, comes into your heart, and God speaks to us through circumstances, through trials, through whatever it is, He could speak to us through nature. He speaks to us through His Word. With that comes a great responsibility on our part. But a great assurance too. So if ever there was a word for fathers today, I think the word might be right here from Joshua. Be strong and very courageous in our faith. And as the theme of Faith Church from Indianapolis, Indiana says, live it out. Live it out. Live it out. Notice the expressions in these first seven verses with me, please, as we look. God's great provisions. We hear over and over the great I Am saying what? He said in verse number 2, I am giving to them. I am giving to them what? That which He promised, right? The Lord speaks, says to Joshua, I have given it to you. Verse 3. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, God would make them, would make their conquest easy. However, we know that it was only their unfaithfulness to God that rendered that conquest in any specific case to become difficult. God would make that conquest easy for the nation, but only because of the unfaithfulness of Israel did it become difficult. But He says, I have been with Moses, I will be with you. His great promise of His presence, His power, His protection. And the importance of verse 8 that struck home to my heart, and there's much of it there, but it's being prepared. I like to alliterate. Could you tell with all the different letters starting with the letter P, the power, the presence, the protection? But it's the preparing of our hearts, and that preparing starts as we spend time in God's Word. Amen, fathers? Amen. This book of the law, I'm reading at verse 8 now, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Live it out. Live it out, brothers. But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for that in doing so, you shall be prosperous, you shall be success in God's eyes. In God, not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes. How precious. Beautiful expressions. And over we see, even from the beginning at verse 2, Moses, my servant, God tells Joshua, is dead. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, because the great I Am has not changed. He is unchangeable, and he is faithful. Amen? Then no foe would be able to stand before you. God reminds Joshua in that of his faithfulness. And brothers and sisters too, we need to rehearse God's faithfulness. Do you know what I mean by I say that? We need to rehearse God's faithfulness. We need to be reminded of God's faithfulness in the way in which he has been and continues to be faithful in encouraging our hearts. And God will fight victoriously for you. I will not fail you, he said. So what's one of the take homes? Well, first, the point number one is that God spoke to Joshua and God speaks to our hearts. But what's the take home? Our brother Tim McClelland from the Cheshire Chapel, where we used to fellowship for 25 or so years, he used to do a PowerPoint like David Dunlap does and others do here, Conrad does. And he used to, at the end of the message, have shoes up. He'd pick different pair of shoes, Converse sneakers or different shoes at the end of his message. And he'd say, let's put shoe leather to this. So I don't want to borrow Tim's line. So I said instead, what is the take home for us fathers? What is the take home for this? And this is what the Holy Spirit really pointedly said to my heart as I was studying. Here it is. It's not in the notes. Unfortunately, I didn't put it in the notes, but it's this. It's faith in the promises of God, fathers. It's faith in the promises of God that provide us with the power of God to accomplish his work. Can I say that again to our hearts, to all of us? It's faith in the promises of God provides us with the power of God to accomplish his work. Because what? It is his work, after all, right? It's not us, it's not our doing, but it's his work. How often do we go about things in our own strength? We do, sometimes. And just like the children of Israel, without seeking the presence of God, we go wrong. Look at verse 10 with me, please. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through in the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare, that's highlighted in my Bible, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Prepare. I read that, and the first thing that came to mind was how often as a father I had said, maybe I still say, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, I hope you can, I wasn't prepared for that to happen. Have you ever said that? Wow, I really wasn't prepared for that to happen. And I won't give examples, but I'll just say maybe in my life, maybe in some of the lives of the brothers here, I don't know, maybe it wasn't because we were trusting him fully, right? Because those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. maybe God allowed it in my life and allows it in our lives to what? To show himself strong. I wasn't prepared for that to happen. Emphasis on the that. And so God speaks to his people. God speaks to us. God spoke to Joshua. And what responsibility we have when God speaks to us. And what our take home in this first section is that faith in the promises of God provide us with the power of God to accomplish his work. Turn please to Joshua chapter 23. We're going to look at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua's final message in the 23rd chapter of Joshua. This is a beautiful note of praise here, these chapters 23 and 24, and we won't go through all of it, obviously, but just like to look at a few verses here and draw a few thoughts. Actually, you know what? Would you turn back to, could I have you turn back to chapter 21 for just a moment? Joshua chapter 21. I was looking at these verses actually after I studied this message. Does that happen, brother, sometimes when you're, yeah, I see Paul nodding and smiling. Yeah, I've been there, David. And I just thought it was really wonderful how gracious God is to impart his word to us. Chapter 21 of Joshua. And look with me, please. Pass your eye down to verse 43. We'll read 43 to the end. God's promise fulfilled is titled in my Bible. I read a commentary on this. It so struck my heart. And the commentary called verses 43 to 45, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Actually, it's a musical term, Faith, I think. Coda, C-O-D-A. She's nodding. It must be a musical term. Huh? It's a coda, according to this commentary, and I thought, what in the world is a coda? C-O-D-A. So I looked it up, and it says, an ending thought as in a piece of music. Is that true? She's nodding again, so it's right. So it's a beautiful note of praise. It's a beautiful note of praise. And I thought, that's what our lives need to be. A beautiful note of praise to the Lord. Fathers, mothers too, right? A beautiful, because it's the mothers working along with the fathers to provide that climate, that temperature in the home that's right for our children to grow. It's a beautiful note of praise to God's faithfulness. So we're reading in chapter 21 then of Joshua, and we're looking at verse 43 together. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. We could probably stop right here and you could go home. I mean, that's the completion of the whole thing, isn't it? The Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Amen? So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side. What is it? Hebrews, it says, there remaineth now a rest for the people of God. According to all that he had sworn to their fathers. No matter how unfaithful we are, huh? God is so faithful. Amen? And no one of their enemies stood before them. And the Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Great congregation is thy faithfulness. Chapter 23. At that beautiful note of praise, we move on and we see Joshua's final message in 23 and 24. And we'll just look here and find Joshua at the close of his life. And We read his two final messages as he recounts the faithfulness of God. He's well on in age, but he's not forgotten the faithfulness of God. And I'll just say this very, very respectfully, that there are some fathers here today who are well on in age. And I mean that respectfully, not to be funny at all, but very seriously. And maybe you feel your work is done. Well, I'm standing here to encourage you that it is not done. It is not done. Joshua 23, please, verse 1. Now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel, Joshua 23, verse 1, from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all of Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old and advanced in years, and you have seen, all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations before you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. Just for sake of time, look over to chapter 24 of Joshua. It is God who has been fighting for you. Fathers, be strong and courageous. If ever there was a word for fathers in the day in which we live today, in an ungodly world in which we are finding ourselves trying to be lights and trying to live it out with the help of the Holy Spirit, if ever there was a word for fathers today, it is this: be strong and very courageous. It is God who has been fighting for you. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abram, the father of Nahor. They served other gods. Then, I'd like you to notice how often the expressions are used, I took, I gave, I brought, I destroyed, as we read together, okay? Verse 3, Joshua 24, verse 3. Then I took your father, God is speaking, and Joshua is speaking, excuse me. And I took your father Abram from beyond the river and led them through the land of Canaan and multiplied their descendants and gave them Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterwards, I brought you out. So the Lord God is speaking here in verse 6, continuing to speak. The Lord God is speaking, thus says the Lord God, I brought you out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of them and their land when I destroyed them before you. Look at verse 12, please. Then I sent. God is speaking. I took your father Abraham in verse 3. In verse 4, I gave twice over. In verse 5, God is speaking. I sent Moses. I brought a plague. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 8, I brought you again into the land. Verse 8, I destroyed them. Verse 12, then I sent the hornet before you and drove out the two kings of the Amorites before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities you had not built, and you have lived in them, and you are eating of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable to your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Men, I'm going to ask you to say that with me. Would you please? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's do it again together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Over and over, we read in this chapter, at the close of his life, Joshua, we read God saying, I gave, I brought you, I destroyed the enemies, I delivered you, I redeemed you. Over and over, we see the faithfulness of God. Is it not the same in our lives too? Amen? Is it not? Do we need to be reminded of the Redeemer of our souls? Do we recall his faithfulness to us? I said a couple minutes ago in looking at this that there's some, I'll just say respectfully, older fathers. I put myself in this category of older fathers because there's a lot of young fathers in this chapel. Is God finished with us? No. What does he require of us as fathers? I see it in verse 14. Well, I see it all the way through scripture, but I see it in verse 14, don't you? What does he require of us? Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And what that means to my heart in sincerity and in truth is just what it means, what it says right there in God's word. If I'm sincere about it in serving him, it'll really be from my heart, not from my head. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And in truth, obedience to his word. The second point of this message is what does God require of us to be obedient to his word? It's simple. And yet so many times we fail at that, don't we? But not to dwell on the negative. It's in truth. It's in truth. It's not just when we come to chapel and we put on our chapel tie. No, you know, I'm serious. It's every day, living it out at home, where the children see us, where our neighbors see us. Maybe our children, like myself and others here, are grown adults now, and they don't see us. But our neighbors see us. Our neighbors see us. It's obedience to the word. It is most important as fathers we set the spiritual temperature of our home. I use that illustration because my wife, my dear wife, whose birthday it is this week, I haven't forgotten. Say, we play thermostat war in our house. Do you know thermostat war? But we have this new thermostat that's computerized now. So the letters on it is about three times the size of that. Did you see it, DJ, when you were there? It's huge. So I can't get away with going down anymore because she'll see it and she'll go back up again. So we try to rearrange our climates because I'm always hot, she's always cold. And we set a temperature that we're both somewhat comfortable at. And then at night I get to put it real low because I like it cold when I sleep. But you know how important it is to do that spiritually? to set the temperature, to set the climate in our home. As for me and my house, we will... And setting that climate spiritually sets the right atmosphere for our children to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, like I said at the beginning of this message, I say this joyfully. I say this as one of your elders and a fellow brother in the Lord. I see that happening in Land O'Lakes, and I'm very grateful, and I praise the Lord for that in the homes, because it's obvious in the children's lives. It's obvious in the lives of the children that we see. And so it's important that we set that. It's important that we set that. And it's a choice. It's a choice. My final thought is it's a choice. Verse 15, is it chapter 24 of Joshua? If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose. Then choose. But we will what? Choose the Lord. We'll choose the truth. We'll choose in sincerity to serve the Lord so that our children and our grandchildren will know of the love of God, nurturing them together. It's a choice. It's obedience. And I observe that here, and I praise the Lord, and I'm sure others praise the Lord too. I have time, I think, I'm looking at the clock and being faithful, but I'd like you to turn for the last scripture reading, please, to Genesis chapter 12. Would you do that with me? Genesis chapter 12. No matter our age, our responsibility as a father never ends. No matter our age, our responsibility as a father never ends. Genesis chapter 12, we look at Abram. Abram, before his name had been changed to Abraham, he was 75 years old. His name would later be changed to Abraham when he was 99 years old. Abram would then have a new identity. He would be called the father of a multitude. But for now, his name wasn't all that bad. He was called Exalted Father. Exalted Father. Perhaps when God changed his name, God had something in mind. Let's read it quickly, please. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll read it verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse, and the ones that curse you, I will curse. And in you, and in you, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, his Lot nephew, their possessions, what they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the east of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. One final thought. Point number 3, if you're counting. No matter our age, fathers, our responsibility as a dad, as a father, never ends. Perhaps when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, God had in mind a new mission for him. At 99? There are some fathers here today, and we're older a little bit. Maybe God has for us, a new ministry, a new mission. I'll leave that with you in prayer to your Heavenly Father. God spoke to him. How does God speak to us? Through his word, through circumstances, through trials, through one another, through nature itself. With that, speaking comes a great responsibility. Abram was a wealthy man, but Abraham was a worshipful man. Was a worshipful man. An altar speaks of worship, doesn't it? Dads, here's a pathway, here's God's pathway. Fathers, here's God's pathway to be a faithful father. God had already been developing in Abram a God-focused life. Now he was developing in Abraham a God-saturated life. A God-focused life, a God-saturated life. A man who was very wealthy, but a man who had a worshipful life. Remember, fathers, remember, speaker too, please. We are the ones who set that climate in our home. Do our children see us worship? I don't just mean on Sunday. Do they see us worship in our lives? Do they see us bring glory to God in our lives? Do we live it out? Do we live it out? You know, we need to be what another called the fragrance of Christ in our lives. And in doing so, we will leave a legacy for our children. What I'm about to say at the close is very difficult to say, so I hope you'll excuse me if I get a little choked up. Just before we play this song in a minute, what will we leave our children is the question. What will we leave our grandchildren as a legacy? What will we leave our children? What will we leave our grandchildren as a legacy? Wealth is fleeting. Things or collections or antiques or whatever it is will rust and decay. But a love that's from above will inspire and be lasting, won't it? A day or so after my father had passed away, we were called to the rest home to pick up his belongings. And I'll never forget this. As long as I live, as long as the Lord gives me memory, what will we leave as a legacy? Tony's little table there beside the nightstand didn't have much on it. There was a Bible there. There were a few medications, perhaps, and a few belongings, but it all fit in a 2-foot by 1-foot box with a lid on it. And the gracious nurses who took care of my father simply wrote on the side of it in black magic marker, Tony, T-O-N-Y. And we carried home the box. Of course, I got all choked up thinking, Dad's gone. And, you know, the flesh says, there's this box with his name on it. But then immediately, the Holy Spirit said to my heart, that's not your father's. That's not what Tony left you. Tony left you a legacy of love. He lived out his Christianity. Brothers, fathers, let's live it out. Let's be sure that we too leave our children a legacy of love, the kind of legacy that will stand the test of time. If you have those lyrics, perhaps you can take them out now. And if our brother Philip will play this song, and when it is done, if it works okay, I've asked Conrad Sr. to close the meeting in prayer in a few minutes, okay? Thank you for your attention.
He was the kind of man that good men talk about. The way he showed his faith was how he lived it out. His hands were rough and calloused, and his shoes were old and torn. And the lines that framed his smile were lines so well and deep and worn. So what will be remembered of what he left behind? What will stand the test of time? How to love your neighbor, how to love your mind. Wrap your arms around your children and pray with them each night. Thank God for all the good things, 'cause the good things are enough. The ties that bind and leave behind a legacy of love. gonna love my neighbor, and I'm gonna love my wife, wrap my arms around my children, and pray.